You're listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim. To find out more, go to calvaryanaheim.org. And now, here's Pastor James.
We've had a message on prayer. We've had a message on the end of all things is at hand. We've had a message on fervent love for one another and forgiveness. And so tonight, we're going to have a message on hospitality, being hospitable to one another, because it says here in 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, without grumbling. A friend said, being from the South, my mother was all about hospitality, cooking, cleaning, dishes, laundry, and even foot rubs. She made me do it all. Isn't it wonderful when someone does these things for us? We love it. Well, the Bible says to do unto others what you would have them to do unto you. And so that's what we want to be about as a church. We want to be hospitable. In Noah Webster's dictionary, the word hospitality means the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. The Greek word used here is philoxenos. Two Greek words combined. The first one is philo. It means loving. That might sound familiar to you if you're familiar with the four loves and the four Greek words for love. And one of them is phileo, and it's the friendship love. It's the affection between friends. And so there's love or loving, and then there's xenos, which means stranger, or can be translated foreigner. So it's showing friendly affection to someone that you don't know or perhaps is outside of your inner circle, your culture of friends. God would have us to be hospitable, to show kindness and brotherly affection to others, even people that we don't know real well. Did you know that since we are a part of the family of God, that He is preparing a home for us? Since we're a part of His household, we get to live in His home. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says to His disciples right before He dies, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And then He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is the hospitality of God, that Jesus would go and prepare a place for us so that He could come again and receive us into His home. And we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to be served food, and it's going to be amazing. The food will be like nothing that we've ever had before. Jesus Christ Himself will serve us, the Bible teaches. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." It's going to be beyond our wildest dreams. We just have to believe it in faith and trust that what God has said is true and that we are just passing through in this life. And there are many perks that God will send along the way. There's many joyous occasions that will come along the way. And those are just little things that are foreshadowing of what is to come that we especially appreciate when we're suffering, when we're going through sickness or grief or fear, anxiety, depression, these things that all of us come into contact with from time to time, and some of us more than others. And especially as we get older, right? And our bodies begin to groan for that new heavenly body as we become more and more limited in our activities. Oh, I wish I could run the way I ran when I was in high school. I wish I could do that or the other. And we're just limited. And so then we begin to groan more and more for the coming of the Lord Jesus and for going home and being received into our new places and to accept his hospitality towards us. There are so many biblical examples of hospitality. I was asking my family last night, hey, what are some stories that you guys can think of in the Bible that really show hospitality? My son Luke said, Jonah and the big fish. That big fish really welcomed Jonah in and said, come on in and have a place to stay for a few days. I thought that was classic. Kylie said the Good Samaritan. Oh, that's a good one. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan where the man was, he got jumped on the road and robbed and left for dead. And a priest passed by, was too busy to take care of him. A Levite passed by. And then a Samaritan, whom the Jews hated, he stopped and he dressed the man's wounds. He put him on his own animal. He took him to an inn and he paid for it all. Paid for it all. That's hospitality. In fact, our word hospital comes from hospitality. And so this guy, he was the founder of the hospitals, if you will. Christy mentioned Jesus feeding the 5,000 and teaching his disciples hospitality as they were all the people. 5,000 men, not including women and children, were then put into groups and they distributed the food so that everyone could eat because he had compassion on them because they were hungry. The ministry of Mary and Martha taking Jesus and the disciples into their homes. And the women that took care of Jesus and provided for him from their own resources throughout his whole ministry. And then as Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and the church was birthed, we see in Acts 2:46 that they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we see hospitality at work in the early church as they were going from home to home and breaking bread with one another. Now remember, in ancient times, they didn't have as many hotels and Airbnbs and all of these other options that we enjoy in our very wealthy nation today. And so they really needed to open up their homes to people to come in and to actually stay there, to stay there. One of my favorite stories in the Bible that really shows forth hospitality and foreshadows the gospel way back during the time of David comes from 2 Samuel chapter 9. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and take a look at this story. This is a story of a man named Mephibosheth. Say that 10 times fast. Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. He's Jonathan's son. You remember Jonathan? We just studied Jonathan. Jonathan and David, and Jonathan was David's best friend. And they entered into a covenant together. They made some promises that, hey, no matter what happens, we've got each other's back. And we're going to take care of each other and our descendants. And they entered into a covenant with one another. And you know the story. Saul came after David, and David had to flee. And eventually Saul died, and all the promises that God made to David came to be. And he became the king of Israel. And there he is, established on the throne, settled in authority, everything's organized, he's the dominant force in the region, and he's very wealthy. And so in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, it says, now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? Now that's a neat thing to do. Just to sit around, I'm bored today, what should I do? Maybe there's someone from the house of my old enemy that I can show kindness to. I wonder if there's anybody left that I can show kindness to. This is a good thing to come to our minds as we sit around. Lord, is there someone that you want me to show kindness to today? Maybe you want me to, you know, do something really nice for a neighbor. Do something thoughtful for a friend. Leave a note, make a phone call. Those things go a long way. Visit someone who needs a friend. Is there someone that I might show kindness to today? This word for kindness in Hebrew is hesed. It's most commonly translated mercy or tender mercy. It's also translated just kindness as it is here, but also loving kindness or steadfast love. This is the love that God has for you and me. And so David says, is there anyone left in Saul's house, the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Because of my good friend Jonathan, for Jonathan's sake. This is the heart of God the Father towards us. Is there anyone down there on earth that I might show kindness to for my son Jesus Christ's sake? Jesus Christ who died on the cross for the sins of the world to bring us peace with God. And God says, I want to show kindness to that person. Kindness. Verse 2, and there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. That's a good thing to say when you're the former head servant of the family of Jonathan, Saul's son. You don't know what kind of mood David's going to be in and what's happening with him. But Ziba is at the service of the king. And that's a great heart of hospitality that you and I can learn from tonight. At your service, how can I help you? What can I do for you? So Ziba says, at your service. In verse 3, then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness, show the kindness of God? There it is. He wants to show the kindness of God. God wants us to show forth his kindness. He doesn't want us to misrepresent him, but to be hospitable. And Ziba said to the king, middle of verse 3, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. I wonder why Ziba felt compelled to add that detail. It was almost like, hint, hint, you may want to think twice about this, David. There's this guy, but he's lame in his feet. So make sure you know what you're getting yourself into before you open yourself to accepting him into your home. Why was he lame in his feet? Well, when he was little, after Saul was killed and the Philistines were overrunning the land, his nurse took him and fled. And then it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. We don't know how. He must have fallen far. He must have fallen off of a rock or something. And his feet, he became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth means to blow away or to break into pieces. Shame. The word Bosheth means shame. So here he is with these lame feet now, and he's been living in shame to the point where Ziba says, oh yeah, but he's lame in his feet. And God knows how he was treated at this time, but there's shame upon him. In verse 4, so the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lo-debar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lo-debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. So he's fallen down at David's feet and just totally on his face before David because, as we're going to see in a second here, he's afraid. He's scared. Why? Because in those days, if you were a king and you had anybody that you might suspect would want to rise up and take your throne, you would have them killed. Just get rid of the competition, you know, the godfather. And so to be one of the descendants of Saul at this time was a dangerous position for you. So he was scared coming to David with his lame feet. So David said to him in verse 7, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." He's going to show him steadfast love and just dote on him. And say, "You come on in, you sit with me and my friends every day, and I am going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you. You will be at my table with me in a place of honor." And isn't this what God has done for you and for me? As we have the shame of sin upon us, the shame of rebellion and disobedience against God, the shame of being descendants of Adam who ate the fruit and sold us all out. And we're lame in our feet, so to speak, spiritually. But God comes along in his grace and says, for the sake of my son, Jesus Christ, you come on into my household. You come and you eat at my table. And I am going to treat you like one of my own children because I'm adopting you into my family. And this is what David is doing for Mephibosheth. This is what God does for us. And this is why we are to be hospitable to other people, to show forth the grace of God in the lives of others. Verse 8, "Then he bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?'" He recognizes his lowly position, and he recognizes the grace that David is showing in doing this kindness towards him. And then it says, "And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, 'I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always.' Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, 'According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth,' said the king, 'he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons.' Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet." And so the guy that was probably kicked around, that was probably made fun of, that was probably treated poorly, like David was when he was a shepherd boy and all his brothers sent him out to go tend the sheep while Samuel was looking them all over. "Is there no one else amongst the brothers?" "Oh yeah, there's this one, David, the youngest, but you really want to look at him?" And he was the one brought up to become the king, and now Mephibosheth, who was lame in his feet, is brought up to eat in the house of the king. Hospitality, living thoughtfully and generously toward others to ensure they feel welcome, included, and loved. You know, some people, some of you, are super outgoing and confident, and you can make yourself at home wherever you are. Some of you are like that, huh? You're just like, you go to someone's house, and you just open the fridge. "Yeah, hey, what do you got?" You know, and you grab a glass, and, you know, when someone says, "Hey, make yourself at home," you really do. And that's awesome. That's awesome. That makes people, I think, comfortable. Oh, cool. Welcome. But others of us, we don't feel comfortable. We go into a strange place, a different place. We're not sure if we should just start opening cupboards to find the glasses. You know, "Oh, help yourself," you know. Help myself. I don't even know how to help myself right now, you know. And we need to be orientated. We need to be told, "Hey, oh, the restrooms are right down here. Just go down this way, make a right. You'll see the restrooms if you need to use it. You need a drink of water? well, there's some bottled water over there. You can go grab it. You go into a home and someone tells you where everything is and what you can help yourself to and where you can go if you need water. And it just kind of, oh, it feels good. You're like, oh, that's nice. And some people have a real gift for this, for identifying, oh, this person has a need, and I know how to help them feel comfortable. I remember going over to the Hogansons not too long ago, and they had a big family gathering. And right when I went in there, it was Evie. Evie, right away. Oh, hey, James, hey, you know, hey, do you need something to eat? Oh, let me get you a plate. And she just piled me a plate, and she's like, you know, it's like she felt my insecurity coming into the room. Believe me, Bill and his family are all very, very welcoming, but I have insecurity issues. And so I go in and Evie was just on it. I'm like, I said, Evie, you have the gift of hospitality. And it was just amazing. And so we want to be like that with people. We want to orientate them and help them to feel comfortable in a situation in which they're maybe unfamiliar with. And there's lots of situations and opportunities we have to do that. Think of it, a new person at work comes in. You've been working there 15 years, so it's just really easy and you take it all for granted, where the tools are, where the bathroom is, all these things. A new person at work comes in though, and you can show them hospitality. You can be the one that puts them at ease and helps them. A new person at school, someone coming into the church that it's just like, where do I go? What do I do? And I'm kind of feeling strange. And when do I stand up? And when do I sit down? And, you know, things like that. And we can identify people like that and talk to them and help them and put them at ease and give them information that they need. Of course, people with this kind of gift are the people that we want to be our greeters and our ushers. And the people in charge of food and things like that. People who have a gift for that kind of thing and it comes natural for them. But we're all to be hospitable. We're all called to be hospitable, even though some have a special gift for it. Now, it says that we're to be hospitable without grumbling. That means without complaining about it. In the King James, the word is grudgingly. So we don't want to be resentful or whiny when we're serving the Lord and doing what he has called us to do. And that's why in Philippians 2:14 it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, even if we're doing what God has called us to do, if we don't have the right attitude about it, and if we're being whiny and complainy, then the world says, that's no different than me. But if we're doing it happily and with a good heart, then we're being a witness. And that's how we want to be as a church, isn't it? We want to be a church that's known for hospitality. And it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Let's be cheerful givers, church. Let's be a church body that's known for being cheerful givers and cheerful in our hospitality. And let's grow in this. I knew I was going to be teaching on this, you know, coming up, and I thought, I need to practice this. So I did the elders meeting at our house on Tuesday night. They're like, why are we here, James? And I go, well, I'm teaching on hospitality this week, and I need to grow and practice it. And then Christy had the women over the next day, and we got our neighbor a piece of pie, too. And you're like, you just did it because you're teaching on it. Well, God's speaking to me, you see, and I'm to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. I'm to practice what I preach. I'm not here to tell you what to do, and then I don't do it. And so I said, Lord, I want to stretch myself this week in these ways. And so I would challenge you to pray about what God might have you do this week to challenge yourself and go, how can I maybe stretch myself a little bit in this area and show somebody love through hospitality? just like Jesus demonstrated his love for me by dying on the cross for me. God demonstrated his love by sending his only son when I was still a sinner to die for me. Amen.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you, to let us know how God has touched your life through this program, or to submit a prayer request. Simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.